According to the Health Insurer Southern Cross on its website, a third of New Zealanders are sleep deprived, and not just on the odd day. Professor Matthew Walker, director of the Centre for Human Sleep Science at the University of California, Berkeley, told The Guardian newspaper, there is a catastrophic sleep loss epidemic affecting the world. And it's not just making people a bit grumpy and a bit dozy. Associations have been claimed between sleep deprivation and Alzheimer's, cancer, diabetes, obesity, poor mental health generally. In 2015, a Southern Cross survey found about a quarter of Kiwis felt tired or fatigued every day, and more than a third of young people. In 2016, Colmar Brunton reckoned 60% felt a bit weary, and 36% of them got only 4 to 6 hours kip a night. So the stats rack up. We may be getting more woke, but we're less awake. What we want to talk about this morning is how and why it's worse for men. Social psychologist Professor Troy Campbell from the University of Oregon has just published a paper in the Journal of the Association for Consumer Research. But the other name on the paper is one of his PhD students, Nathan Warren, and he had the idea for this study. Nathan's joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, how you doing today?
Very well. Are you bright and alert? Did you get a decent sleep yourself last night?
I did. I tried my best to get a good night's sleep every night, and I was pretty successful last night.
I'm pleased to hear it. You know a bit about New Zealand. You've got family here, don't you?
Yeah. I've got a number of extended family members all around Auckland, and spent a bit of time down at uni down in Dunedin in 2005. So lots of friends and relatives down there.
You flatted on George Street, I think. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Had a very fun time living on George Street for 6 months and back in the day.
It's a great university town. All right.
Really is.
Nice to have that connection. The stats, Nate, the stats suggest sleep deprivation is worse for Americans, actually, than for Kiwis. Nearly half of you are sleep deprived. Can that be right?
I think it can be right. It seems like that's the way it is. We've seen this from study after study after study, and it doesn't really matter how they're measuring it. They keep finding the same thing. And it's not just in the U.S. It's all around the globe, and it seems to be getting worse almost everywhere.
I know it's different sleep for different people, but basically we need 7 to 8 hours, yes?
That's the basic finding, right? But there is always variance between individuals. And what I think is going on a lot of the time is that a lot of people think, oh, yeah, I know everyone else needs 7 hours sleep, but I'm different. And just everyone thinks they're different, which is just scientifically wrong.
Why is sleep deprivation worse for men? I think you give this a fancy title.
Right. So we call it the sleep-deprived masculinity stereotype. There's a lot of factors that lead to people sleeping less. But we do show that this stereotype exists. People believe men who sleep less are more masculine. That goes for men and women both think that. Leads to positive judgments of men who sleep less. And it also leads that men who say they sleep less actually feel like they're more masculine.
That's strange. As soon as I read that claim, I thought, surely not. And then I thought some more and realized it could quite possibly be true. So you might hear men complain about, you know, being out, having a hard night the night before, out on the tiles, having a good time, being short of sleep. But you don't tend to hear us complaining about regular sleep loss. I'm not saying women do complain, but somehow it doesn't seem manly to seem fastidious about sleep.
Right. And it, again, fits into this larger picture of just men not taking care of themselves and this kind of the idea that sleeping, eating healthy, doing any sort of thing to take care of your body is somehow unmasculine. Take care of your mind is somehow unmasculine. That had shown up in a few other places, but no one had looked at it with sleep yet. And we were curious if it was a stereotype that we could find, and it turns out that it was. And it was pervasive just across men and women and across society. It was pretty clear to us that this was a big problem.
And as you say, it's a stereotype, and it won't apply to all men. But generally, it's really interesting. Can you tell us about the experiments you ran?
Certainly. I think the simplest and most kind of powerful one to describe, a man walks into a bed store. He says to the employee, I sleep a lot. Or he says, I don't sleep a lot. And then we just had people rate that guy on 10 different characteristics, one of which was masculinity. And when we ran that study, we kept finding that the man who says, I don't sleep a lot, is rated as very masculine.
That's a really, and I know you did other studies too, but that is such a striking one. And it seems daft, but at the same time, it seems to ring true. But there are problems, aren't there? I mean, men who sleep less are more aggressive and violent, generally.
That's a finding from another study that really kind of draws on how important it is that not only people sleep, that men sleep, but that also that we start addressing these stereotypes that might be leading people to not sleep as much. And also it makes perfect sense, right? We know that sleeping less basically makes people have less control over themselves. And people with less control over themselves are more likely to be aggressive and violent. So it wasn't a very surprising finding, but it's also a pretty powerful one.
Sleep really is the foundation of health, isn't it? We're told it all the time. But of course, when you're young, you can stay out all night and still go to the job or go to lectures the next day. And I'm sure you know that feeling, and you can plow through your tiredness. I'm assuming you've done it. I did it.
Right. So there's this idea out there of like, I can do it. And I think that's all linked to this idea that sleeping less allows us to be more productive and allows us to go out and have more fun. And so sleeping less is going to give us more opportunities to do things. When all of the science and all of the reality is showing that, you know, if you want to be more intelligent and productive, you need to sleep more. If you want to be physically more attractive, you need to sleep more. If you want to be mentally more with it, you need to sleep more. And so even though you might be able to sleep less, it turns out that the longer term and shorter term consequences of that are pretty dire.
It seems hard to get this message through, doesn't it? I mean, sleep deprivation in students correlates with poor academic performance. And in fact, when you're young, you need more sleep, don't you?
Right. There's a number of different ways that people think that they're sleeping, but they're actually doing some pretty harmful things. Like passing out is not the same thing as sleeping. Drinking Red Bull and then trying to go to sleep and actually sleeping on Red Bull, not super helpful. Even simple things like having your phone near you, also pretty bad for your sleep behaviors.
Yes, we've been told these things, but it's not getting through. And is this in part because of that masculine, unquote, resistance to the message?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going on here. Is people think, I'm different, I'm unique, and it's a good way for me to go out and tell everyone else how masculine, how great, how strong, how independent and productive I am.
And you mightn't even think of it that consciously. That might be quite subconscious, but you're still fibbing to yourself about the fact that you need as much sleep as everyone else.
I think that's a very, very good point, that I don't think many people are saying to themselves, I'm not going to sleep so that other people think I'm masculine. But I do think that people would say, you know, would go out and try to do these things that demonstrate that they can be productive, they can go have fun, they can do everything because they think it's somehow what they're supposed to be.
They can get up in the morning, they can drive the truck, they can drive the tractor on the farm, they can plow ahead. And in fact, all the time they're suffering and doing long-term damage, I'm assuming, too, Nate.
And not just to themselves, but to society as a whole. We see this, there's some great research that just looks at simple things like the change of daylight savings times. And that simple shift where people lose an hour of sleep roughly ends up leading to more hospitalizations, more errors at work, all kinds of bad issues.
Yeah, daylight saving, those changes are really interesting. In The Fight Club, which was a pretty masculine movie, the narrator suffers from insomnia, which does him no good at all mentally. So it's not as if all movie references or social media references or whatever to sleep loss somehow encourage it, but it's as if many men simply shrug off the need. I suppose I'm repeating myself, but as what, fussy, too fussy.
Right, and for some reason those characters in Fight Club are seen as these hyper-masculine characters who don't sleep at all, but at the same time end up basically being, you know, having a mental breakdown, turning into murdering domestic terrorists. But they're celebrated because they're able to kind of behave in this way that's completely agnostic to the rest of society. And it's kind of this need where men need to present themselves as independent and strong. And the word is agentic when you're looking at psychology. But what that can often lead to is these incredibly socially and personally destructive behaviors.
Part of the problem is that, again, when you're young, you can be tired through the day and then revive yourself at night and stay up too late again. And that cycle can just continue, can't it?
Yeah, and I was kind of referencing this idea of living on caffeine earlier, which is certainly part of this. And I do think that this is, we've seen in our research, something that's pervasive across generations. I do see some hope here. Specifically, we're seeing a lot of athletes today talking about how sleeping more can really increase how productive they are. It can make them more physically fit. We see other people advocating for sleep in terms of making them more intelligent. And I think all of those things are some pretty positive narratives that could help us kind of get away from this idea that this self-abuse, not caring for ourselves, sleeplessness is somehow connected with a positive signal of masculinity.
Okay. So you think the message is getting through, but at the same time, for all genders, presumably, it's not, because insomnia is not just insomnia, but lack of sleep generally is a really epidemic problem in the world now.
Right. So I won't say that the message has gotten through. I'm saying I see some hope in certain areas where I'm seeing a positive message. We're seeing some business leaders starting to really prioritize things like sleep and mental health. And I think that in the boardroom has been an area that this has been really pervasive for a long time. And the other one is we see some athletes pushing this, right? And I'm thinking back to my childhood athletic heroes who were all smoking cigarettes and not sleeping. And the current athletes that people are idolizing are really prioritizing things like sleep and health. We also see this in U.S. politics. We've seen it throughout politics throughout history, where some political leaders really brag about the fact that they don't need any sleep, and that can be celebrated for their productivity. But those same political leaders, there was just a study in the U.S. where they were following one political leader's tweets at 3 a.m. and basically found that his behaviors the next day were less intelligent, more crass, and just basically less presidential on a whole number of different metrics.
Oh, you're talking about Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, I was trying to avoid specifically saying that. But yes, basically, he is an emblem of the kind of sleep-deprived masculinity stereotype, both in the sense that he frequently boasts about not sleeping, he seems to be suffering the mental repercussions of that, and he seems to be suffering the physical repercussions of that, too, as evidenced by his love for fast food and his battles with his doctors about his waistline.
And that's quite impressive the way he keeps going physically. And it's not just men. Margaret Thatcher, of course, I don't know if she bragged about it, but she was said to exist on very little sleep. So, you know, again, it can be across genders, can't it?
But again, she was like these CEOs that we're seeing, someone like Arianna Huffington, who goes into these traditionally male-dominated arenas, whether it be politics or the CEO suite. And they're now confronting all of these stereotypes of what it needs to be masculine, and they're confronting it from a female perspective. And that can be, there's a whole nother realm of research that we kind of suggest at the end of our paper into how the sleep-deprived masculinity stereotype might be affecting females in areas like the boardroom, like the political realm, like being a lawyer. For instance, there might be some pretty serious implications of this for females who are looking to go into those very stereotypically, at least in the United States, masculine domains.
Yeah, there's a lot of work on. Let's burn the midnight oil. Come on. If you want to be a partner, you've got to measure up here. All that stuff, all those conversations.
Certainly.
Okay.
Certainly.
Your paper's interesting because it seems quite quirky at first glance. And then all of a sudden, as you read into it, its importance surfaces. So, well done. What gave you the idea of conducting this research?
Actually, it was growing up in a family where I was told, you know, hey, if you sleep enough, then you'll be able to be a successful person tomorrow. And so I had always kind of valued sleep, read the science on sleep. And then I showed up at graduate school, and there seemed to be this idea that sleeping less was something to be proud of. And there were some times I'd run into faculty members who would say, no, you need to, you know, also take care of yourself. But those faculty members were always female faculty members. And the male faculty members, even the ones who studied sleep, seemed to kind of disregard the idea that they might actually prioritize sleep in their own lives.
Hey, thank you for taking the time to talk to us about it, too. You're going to come back to New Zealand anytime?
I certainly hope so. I think your president there is doing a pretty good job of keeping people out at the moment, and I'm not sure I'm allowed to go much of anywhere these days in terms of outside of this country. No one wants our passports. But hopefully when the world returns to normal, I'll be back down there before long.
She's not president yet, but I'm sure she appreciates the compliment.
Ah, got it.
Very good. Hey, thank you, Nate, and thanks for your time, too.
Thank you, and I'll look forward to making it back down south again soon.
Nathan Warren.